You are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Forfeit the game before somebody else takes you out of the frame. Put your name to shame, cover up your face. You can't run the race, the pace is too fast, you just won't last.
What's up and welcome back to the Locked On Bucs podcast. I am James Yarko without David Harrison. You can find everything that we're doing over at BucsNation.com. Make sure you follow along on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JYarko underscore Bucks, at DH82 underscore Bucks, and at Bucks underscore Nation. It is, of course, a crossover Wednesday, and I will preface my time with Locked On Cardinals coach, or Locked On Cardinals host, Bo Brack. By saying when we did the crossover, I was on a cell phone, so I apologize in advance for a little bit of drop in my audio. But before we get to that, we have a couple of things to mention regarding the Bucs. They did make some roster moves. They signed outside linebacker Sam Acho and promoted Kazeem Daniels from the practice squad. As a result, they had to place tight end Anthony Auclair on injured reserve, and they waived Amare Darbo, which is a wide receiver that they just signed not too long ago after they got rid of Bobo Wilson. In the press release, the Buccaneers said that Acho has played 102 career games over 8 seasons. He did spend 4 seasons with the Arizona Cardinals and Bruce Arians, and then he went on to play for the Chicago Bears. He's got 17 sacks, 11 passes defense, 10 forced fumbles, and 3 interceptions since being a 4th round pick in 2011. So, a couple of things to keep an eye on for the Bucs. They're working on trying to beef up that pass rush a little bit, and that's going to be a key against the Arizona Cardinals and somebody like Kyler Murray, who can get outside the pocket, who can get outside the contain, and make plays with his legs. These Buccaneers defensive backs are going to be on a little bit of an island if the pass rush cannot get there, and as we've seen, when the corners are on an island, things usually do not turn out too well for the Bucs. But we're going to get into a lot of that coming up next with Locked On Cardinals host Bo Brack as we dive into this weekend's matchup with the Bucs returning home against the Arizona Cardinals.
It's Locked On Cardinals, Locked On Buccaneers, crossover Wednesday here on your Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Bo Brack, James Yarko. Talking about this Week 10 matchup between the new Cardinals versus, it feels like, the old Cardinals, James.
Yeah, a little bit. it's so tough this year. It really is, because you can see they're so close so many times, and then they just keep punching themselves in the throat and ruining anything that they grow off of. But, you know, I love Bruce Arians. He's been one of my favorite coaches in the NFL for years and years. And, you know, you can't expect him to work miracles. And turning this team into a playoff contender in 1 year would have been a miracle.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to dive more into the BA Bucs, the state of the team as we know it. We're absolutely going to get into some of these matchups as well. The Cardinals offense versus the Buccaneers defense, and then the Buccaneers offense versus the Cardinals defense, plus some of the key matchups of this contest. Looking forward to getting into all of that. James Yarko, Bo Brack here on the Crossover Wednesday. Well, how would you just kind of summarize currently, 8 games into the Bruce Arians Bucs era?
It's kind of same old Bucs. You know, Jameis Winston will make mistakes, or he'll go out there and the offense will have a tremendous game and the secondary can't stop a nosebleed with a U-Haul of gauze. So it's kind of the same old, same old. The only improvement that we've really seen on the defensive side has been the pass rush. And then, you know, on the offensive side, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin are tearing up the league, but O.J. Howard and Cameron Brate are MIA. So it's, you know, you take one step forward, you take 2 steps back. It's just a vicious cycle for the Buccaneers.
Yeah, absolutely. James Yarko underscore Bucks. That's the best way to follow this guy on Twitter. So are we seeing any of that quarterback whisperer magic that BA kind of flexed during his tenure here in Arizona under Carson Palmer? We even saw it with a little bit of Drew Stanton. Nobody beyond those guys too much. But are we seeing that with Jameis Winston? You said there were spurts of it.
Yeah, there's definitely been glimpses. You'll see times where before Jameis would have forced the ball or things like that, and instead he's tucking and running. He's throwing the ball away. One of the big issues that David and I have talked about on the Locked On Bucks show is a lot of these offensive plays that Byron Leftwich is calling is a lot of vertical routes. And we know BA likes to take his deep shots, but a lot of times there's no outlet, there's no safety valve. And this offensive line is not good enough to protect Jameis long enough for these routes to develop. So it's turned into problems. It's turned into sack fumbles. It's turned into, you know, having to throw the ball up earlier than you want to, which results in turnovers. There's still some miscommunication on offense. A couple of the turnovers that Jameis had a few weeks ago when Bruce Arians came out and said, you know, Jameis didn't throw one damn interception that was his fault, was because, you know, these receivers were seeing one thing, Jameis was seeing another, they were cutting off their routes, whatever the case may be. But then there's still those stupid Jameis moments that creep in, where it's those turnovers that you just shake your head and you're like, how, what, why? What are you looking at? Because there wasn't a red jersey within 10 yards of where you were throwing the ball. But you're starting to see a little bit of the decision-making getting just slightly better. At the same time, there's a lot of hesitation. And I think the hesitation is leading to some of these turnovers where he doesn't want to fall back into his old habits. He's trying to get better, but then he starts questioning himself, and that clock is ticking, and it's led to disastrous plays.
It sounds pretty similar to the Carson Palmer era here in Phoenix or in Glendale, Arizona, under Bruce Arians, where he would go to defend his quarterback despite him making some questionable decisions on the field, and also just that BA offense, to where it's from a different era where it's drop back, take your 5 to 7 step drops, and regardless of what the defense is throwing at you, you're going to run that offense. And that sometimes can be problematic and head scratching for people who cover the team, for people who root for those teams. So I kind of still find that curious that he still plays that, but it's been successful for a guy like BA. We're talking here crossover Wednesday, of course. The 3-5-1 Arizona Cardinals go across the country, take on the 2-6 Buccaneers. They played the Seattle Seahawks really close, took them to overtime last weekend, and that was really behind Jameis Winston having an unscathed game, 2 touchdown passes, no interceptions, and Mike Evans really getting it done, receiving and catching the football. How can the Cardinals defense slow a guy down like Evans?
Right now, I don't think you can. And it's actually great to see right now, because he got off to such a slow start, and Chris Godwin was that new hotness. And everybody across the NFL landscape was talking about how great Chris Godwin is. He's coming into his own. He's a legitimate threat. We knew Godwin had that talent. But now Mike Evans is getting more involved. And I can't remember the exact yardage. I want to say it's around like 150, 160 yards. He has the chance to get 1,000 receiving yards on the season this weekend. He's that close already.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Yeah, he's had some of these huge blow-up games. And when Mike Evans is on, he's a top 5 receiver, hands down, in the NFL. But we've also seen this season some of his bad habits creep back up. You know, he's had some crucial drops. He's had some plays where you look at him and you say, Mike, if you want to be an elite receiver in this league, that's a play you have to make. And the past couple of weeks, he's made all those plays. He's made all those catches. You can tell a stark difference in his approach this year as opposed to the past couple years, where he's getting the ball in his hands and then he's trying to get more yards after the catch. And before, a lot of times Mike Evans would catch the ball and he'd go down, or he would slide when he wouldn't really need to, and he would make the catch, but then there was no yards after catch. He's really made a concerted effort to get those yards after catch. Now, I will say, I still hold Patrick Peterson in extremely high regard, and Patrick Peterson is back, correct?
He's back as far as playing, that's for sure. I mean, we saw Thursday night on a national stage where Peterson struggled mightily against the San Francisco 49ers. A lot of plays were in front of him, gave up some big yardage. There was a touchdown pass over Patrick Peterson to Dante Pettis. So Patrick Peterson, I think, kind of still kicking the rust off after a six-game ban for a PED violation, pushing 30 at this point. He's been a Pro Bowler every single season of his career. I mean, Father Time is undefeated. I don't know if he's starting to show or rear his ugly head. I'd like to think not. Hopefully this is a good matchup for Patrick Peterson to hopefully get up for and show that he's still, you know, a perennial Pro Bowler type. I don't know the answer to that. He had a big-time interception against Drew Brees in the New Orleans Saints when that game was within reach early in the second half. So we'll see. I think that P2 absolutely has the ability to play up to the level, and especially against a matchup like Mike Evans. I just hope to see, maybe it was just a matchup nightmare and too many guys that he couldn't cover on his own, because there's some soft spots in this defense beyond Patrick Peterson and his struggles on Thursday night.
Yeah, and I will say that Patrick Peterson has been one of my favorite non-Buccaneers players ever since he came in the league. I absolutely love the guy. And if he is getting all that rust off and he is back to his usual form and he's the one matched up across Mike Evans, I still think Mike Evans can have a decent day. But now you go back to what I was mentioning earlier. You got to worry about Chris Godwin. Is there anybody in that Cardinal secondary that can shut down Chris Godwin if Mike Evans is the one being taken out of the game, a la the New Orleans Saints game when Evans' streak of consecutive games with the reception was snapped? It's pick your poison, because both of these guys are legitimate number one receivers. So that's what's made this Bucs offense so potent and so good. They've scored more points through the first eight games of this season than they have in the first eight games of any season in franchise history.
That's a potent offense, yeah.
Yeah, and what's amazing about it is that it's all Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Ronald Jones. And if you had told me when we were doing these preseason previews or heading into the season or through training camp that those were the three guys that I would mention, I would have said, no way. Where's O.J. Howard? Where's Cameron Bray? What about Rashad Perryman, who was their number three receiver acquisition? Perryman had a decent day against Seattle, but he's been a huge disappointment for this team. I mean, there's no receiver, no tight end with double-digit receptions outside of Godwin and Evans. So if the Cardinals are able to take away those two guys, which is much easier said than done, they're definitely going to be able to slow down this offense, or maybe it'll force Byron Leftwich to finally utilize, you know, two of the most athletic tight ends in the NFL should O.J. Howard return. I think he will this week. Not 100% sure those hamstrings are tricky. We all know that.
Yeah, absolutely. Something that always nags players. It seems like the extent of a football season, or if you're watching any sport, hamstring is one of those tricky injuries to come back from, and you can never really anticipate how long they're going to linger. Bo Brock, James Yarko, of course, Crossover Wednesday here. One more question for you. I mean, you mentioned that tight end position. It is just fascinating, because that's the Cardinals where they struggle the most, is covering that tight end. I mean, Greg Kittle was able to get back on track last week after Buda Baker looked like he was going to make an emphasis on covering the position, and it just never happened. Kittle found the end zone. The tight end continues to just be a nightmare position for the Cardinals. I mean, you name it. Outside of the Cincinnati Bengals game in week 5, I believe, that position has just run amok against the Cardinals.
Yeah, well, and it was something that I've been saying for the past couple of weeks, too. You know, even before we knew O.J. Howard was going to be out against the Tennessee Titans, I was continuously saying, whether it was at BucsNation.com or on the Locked On Bucs podcast, this is when you have to get O.J. Howard going. This is the stretch of games. Against the Titans, against the Seahawks, against the Cardinals, you're facing the 29th, the 30th, and the 32nd ranked defenses against the tight end. The 31st ranked defense against the tight end is Tampa Bay. So they obviously can't play themselves, but you're playing three of the four worst defenses against the tight end position. You have to get O.J. Howard going. Well, O.J. Howard is out. Okay, now you go back to somebody that Jameis has historically looked to and trusted in Cameron Brate, and they still don't get him involved. Cameron Brate had a couple of receptions against the Titans, had a touchdown, didn't get many, if any, looks against Seattle, he was active, but I honestly don't remember seeing him on the field at all. There were a couple of passes thrown Auclair's way. There was a touchdown, should have been touchdown pass dropped by Tanner Hudson, who was in for the injured O.J. Howard. But these are the games where you get that position going, and it seems like, and you know this as well as anyone, you know, Bruce Arians' offense doesn't really feature the tight end. Well, you know, in Arizona, he didn't have O.J. Howard or Cameron Brate to feature. In Indianapolis, he didn't have Cameron Brate or O.J. Howard to feature. He has these freak athletes, especially O.J. Howard, that he's just not utilizing, and it doesn't make any sense, especially when you're going up against a team that is so susceptible to giving up big yards and big points to that position. O.J. Howard is a human mismatch against any defense in the NFL. I don't care who they are. Nobody can cover this guy the way he needs to be covered, and they're just flat out not using him. So I would say I expect to see them use the tight end against the Cardinals, but at this point, I don't believe that they will, because they haven't shown that they're willing to.
Yeah, kind of a rubber meets the road here, whether the Cardinals are going to continue to give up on that position in covering, and or if Bruce Arians is, you're exactly right, during his tenure here in Arizona, there was no tight end that was, you know, consistently in the game plan under BA. We'll see if Byron Leftwich and BA try to change up the game plan, at least for this week against the Arizona Cardinals. Bo Brock, James Yarko, crossover Wednesday, Bucks Cardinals. That's going down Sunday morning, of course, locally, Sunday afternoon there in Tampa. Coming up next here on a crossover Wednesday, Todd Bowles is the defensive coordinator down there in Tampa. And Ndamukong Suh, he's a big free agent acquisition in the offseason. How those guys are doing in that struggling secondary for the Bucks, is that something Kyler Murray in this Cardinals passing attack, Cliff Kingsbury in the air raid, can they take advantage of it? We'll answer those questions next. It's Locked On Cardinals, Locked On Bucks on a crossover Wednesday. Crossover Wednesday here, Locked On Cardinals, Locked On Buccaneers, Bo Brock, James Yarko, James_Yarko_Bucks on Twitter, at Bob Brack. Easiest way to find me on social media as well. It's a Crossover Wednesday, part of your Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. We went over kind of the Bucks offense for this Arizona Cardinals defense. Now let's kind of flip the script a little bit. Todd Bowles, now the DC down there in Tampa, coaching up that defense. What's been your early, or I guess, 8 games in, your thoughts, James, on Bowles in this defense? Obviously, not exactly ideal the way points are being put up on the board on the Bucks.
No, it's amazing. You have the number one rush defense in the NFL. They've shut down Christian McCaffrey twice. His two worst outings of the season have been against the Buccaneers. They shut down Saquon Barkley up until he left the game with an injury, and it was Chris Carson who was finally able to break that 100-yard mark, but that was all because of a 59-yard run in the first half. So, you know, this run defense is stout. Vita Vea and Ndamukong Suh working the interior. Vita Vea has been an absolute terror, and I love seeing it. The linebackers are swarming. Shaq Barrett, of course, 10.5 sacks already. Jason Pierre-Paul, he's back. He's got 1.5 sacks in his 2 games. It's the secondary that's the problem. You have Vernon Hargraves, who might be the worst draft pick in the Jason Light era, you know, even worse than Aguayo. You used an 11th overall pick on a guy that just flat out cannot play against NFL receivers. You had Jamel Dean get completely roasted all day long. You do have some promise at the safety position, but these corners are just they're just not good. So a lot of frustration following the Seahawks game was the fact that you lost Carlton Davis, who's your best cover corner on the team. You lose him in warmups. You put in a third-round rookie corner to start, and you put him on an island against Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf, and you got the results that any sane person would have expected. Instead of adjusting and switching to kind of a zone coverage to try to alleviate some of that pressure from Dean, they stuck with their game plan, man coverage, lots of blitzes, and they got roasted for it. So that's really been the one game that I can point to that I can say that Todd Bowles didn't live up to what he should have been doing. Other than that, there have been some major bright spots for the defense in terms of improvement. The pass defense, again, it's still the worst in the NFL. A lot of that has to do with the personnel. They just aren't up to the level that they need to be. And they've invested a lot of capital in these draft picks to try to solidify that secondary. And it just hasn't been working. So I have a feeling that there's going to be some blowing up of the secondary come the off season. But for right now, if that pressure isn't getting to these quarterbacks, then these corners aren't able to stop opposing receivers. And with a guy as elusive and as electric as Kyler Murray can be, that's a very, very dangerous situation to be in when you're trying to attack a quarterback and bring him down and get pressure on him, but then that quarterback can make all those plays with his legs by time against corners that are just flat out bad.
Yeah, he's got to be licking his chops, as do Christian Kirk and Larry Fitzgerald, Keyshawn Johnson, maybe even Andy Isabella, the second-round wide receiver who had made a big play on Thursday Night Football, still only 3 receptions on the 2019 season, but could be a breaking out game for him. But when we look at the prospect of David Johnson maybe getting back into this lineup, and then what we saw with Kenyon Drake, who was so effective on the ground for this Cardinals just rushing attacks and also being able to catch the ball in the backfield, it sounds like that's probably not the route they'll go when just kind of how you're breaking down the tough, soft spots of this defense.
Yeah, I would say to all the fantasy football players, bench David Johnson, but he's such a threat in the passing game.
Sure.
That, you know, he's going to make plays in the passing game. But if you're relying on David Johnson or Kenyon Drake to get you 80, 90 yards on the ground, it's just not going to happen against this defense unless they pull a Carson and they bust off a long run, which, you know, credit to Carson. He broke some tackles. He strong-armed some guys, and he really made that play happen. But even then, he was chased down from behind by rookie Devin White, and the ball was stripped. It just happened to go out of bounds. So even when they gave up that big play, they still almost created a turnover off of it. This run defense is just absolutely incredible. But like I said, you look at these Cardinals running backs, and they're so good in the passing game that they're still going to be a huge threat. And David Johnson is another guy that I just absolutely love. I might be a closet Cardinals fan. The more we talk about this, the more I realize how many players on that team I really, really love. Larry Fitzgerald, of course, being another one. I still argue he should be the only active Hall of Famer in NFL history. But, yeah, I mean, the Cardinals offense, despite the fact that they're 3-5-1, and full disclosure, I was not a Kyler Murray fan. I did not like him coming out of the draft. I thought it was a mistake to take him. And so far, he's been proving me wrong. And the record isn't great, but neither is the overall team. And Kyler Murray's made some incredible plays. He's actually a lot of fun to watch. I'm starting to eat a little bit of crow on that one. But this defense can give up these big plays, and there are plenty of playmakers in Arizona that can expose the defense, and they can do it from all different angles.
Yeah, James, that's what I'm looking forward to in this matchup. Obviously, these are two teams that really aren't eyeing January, right? And by what I mean, they're not going to be in the playoff conversation, but they're two teams that are rebuilding, retooling, whatever you want to call it. The Cardinals absolutely in a rebuild. They were able to get 3 wins off of 3 bad teams. Those were exciting games, though. And it seems like the Buccaneers are, sure, there's frustration built into that, but there's also, last week was exciting to go to overtime in Seattle against Russell Wilson and in the Seahawks. It didn't come out how you wanted at the end of the day, but this game, I think, just like those, should be exciting to watch. I think there are going to be a lot of points scored. I think there's going to be a lot of great performances on the offensive side of the football. Do you think this is going to come down to, though, on either one of these defenses, somebody making a play?
I think it's going to have to. Both of these offenses, you know, are built to be big play offenses. And what I mean by that is they can score from anywhere on the field because they have those playmakers. And both of these defenses are built to give up those big plays. So I think we're going to see, I would say, at least one big touchdown out of each offense in this one. And it is going to be up to someone on one of these two defenses to make that huge play. And what's been so frustrating for the Bucks is they've had a lead in all six games that they've lost. And four of those six have finished as one-score games. So, as I said earlier, they're on the cusp. You can see it. They're so close. They just can't finish these games out. So it makes me a little bit nervous with his talented as some of these Arizona offensive players are, that if it is a one-score game and you're getting down to that 6-5 minute mark in the fourth quarter, that could be where that big play comes in and completely break the backs of these Buccaneers and say, you know, oh boy, here we go again. Then you go into, you know, is Jameis going to be able to lead a drive like he did against Seattle, or is he going to revert back to old Jameis like I talked about earlier, and that's when the forced pass comes in and he turns the ball over. So it's really, before the season, everybody does it. We all look at the schedule and say, that's a win, that's a loss, that's a win, that's a loss. I don't know anybody as far as within the realm of Buccaneers coverage that looked at this Arizona game and said, this is a loss. But this very well could end up being a loss because of the way these two teams are built.
Yeah, and this is a big game for both of these teams as far as the development and the momentum that I think where both of these organizations want to be. One, it could springboard either franchise. I mean, the Cardinals could go to 4-5-1, and then the Bucs could cut their, you know, they're 3-6. I mean, that's a lot better in getting you going in the right direction, more so than if you're 2-7 or you're 3-6-1. I mean, that's a loss is going to hurt whichever team's on the wrong end of this game come Sunday a lot more than the team who's going to benefit from a win. I think it'll help, but the loss is going to sting a lot more. Bo and James here on a crossover Wednesday. Any as we kind of wrap things up here, any key matchups you're looking at? I mean, it sounds like Chris Godwin, if he goes, you know, uncovered by Patrick Peterson, seems like he could have this huge day for the Bucs offense. As far as their defense is concerned, who are you looking as far as them matching up against which Cardinals offensive player?
Well, and you nailed it. That's the exact matchup that I'm looking for. I'm looking at Mike Evans and Chris Godwin against the Cardinals secondary, and I'm keeping a special eye on Patrick Peterson, and I'm sure you've heard there's a lot of buzz around Tampa about wanting to trade for Patrick Peterson. You know, they need that shutdown veteran leader guy in the secondary, and I think that's going to be a lot of buzz this coming offseason. Whether the Cardinals would be willing to part with him or not is a whole nother story, but there's a lot of people, both media and fans alike, pounding the table saying we need Patrick Peterson, if nothing else, just as that bridge guy and that voice of reason, that voice of experience in the locker room. So I want to see how he's continuing to come back and play at his age and coming off the suspension. And then as far as, you know, on the flip side, I'm looking at the Buccaneers pass rush, mostly those outside linebackers, Shaq Barrett, JPP. I'm looking at how they do against Kyler Murray. Are they getting pressure on him? Are they containing him? Or is he going to be running wild, creating plays with his legs, buying time, and finding Kirk, finding Fitz, finding Keyshawn against a weak Bucs secondary? So those are really the key things that I'm looking for. And I think those two matchups are going to be the story of this game.
Absolutely. You have a prediction for how things are going to go down on Sunday?
Oh, boy. Let's see. This will be the first home game the Buccaneers have played since the month of September. How many fans are going to be there to support them? I have no idea. But I do think that Bruce Arians is going to get a win against his former team. I'll take the Bucs 33-24.
I think you're going down the right path there. Cardinals have played a lot better as far as going east, as they traditionally have struggled in that. They have a couple wins already with early kickoffs against the Bengals and the Giants, but man, we've seen that those are two terrible franchises. And what I saw, and I watched just about every second of that Tampa Bay Seattle game on Sunday. If Jameis can take care of the football, the Bucs can win this game and win it running away. I really visualize this game kind of being like Tampa Bay, New York was, where Daniel Jones was able to lead them to victory. Man, I'm so on the fence as far as who's going to win this game. I just know it's going to be high scoring. It's going to be close. And whoever's going to make the first mistake, Kyler Murray's shown an ability to take care of the football. I think the Cardinals maybe edged this one out. I'm going to just say 32-30.
All right. Yeah, and again, for the fantasy football players out there, especially the ones that are into FanDuel, DraftKings, like the DFS, fire up your Cardinals and your Bucks. This is Vegas' highest over-under of the week. There's going to be a lot of points put up. So it should be a fun, exciting game. And for the sanity of Buccaneers fandom, which is unraveling very quickly, I hope the Bucks come away with a win. But I'm excited to watch this Cardinals team, man. Kyler Murray might end up being something very special, and I'll be real excited to watch him work.
Yeah, me too. It's going to be a fun game. I think we're both expecting it. James Yarko _Bucks. Best way to follow him on Twitter. Listen to Locked On Bucks. Of course, looking forward to a great contest on Sunday, James. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll catch up with you maybe next season. Or if there's a Peterson trade this offseason.
Yeah. If that happens, we'll make sure to get you back on Locked On Bucks, and we can talk a little bit about what the Bucks are getting and whatever the Cardinals will be getting. But I think that's going to be a big topic this coming offseason.
You heard it here first. This has been a Crossover Wednesday here at Locked On Cardinals, Locked On Bucks. Part of your Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Have a great rest of your Wednesday.
A big thank you once again to Bo Brock of Locked On Cardinals for doing that crossover episode with me. Of course, you can check out everything that he is doing over at Locked On Cardinals. Make sure you're checking out everything David and I are doing over at BucksNation.com. Make sure you're following along on Twitter at Locked On Bucks, at JYarko_Bucks, at DH82_Bucks, and at Bucks_Nation. You, of course, can always send in your voicemails to 813-444-5841. Hope you all have an absolutely outstanding day, and thank you so much for joining us right here on Locked On Bucks.
Labels out here, now they can't tell me nothing. We give it to the people, spread it across the country.
Here we go back, this is the moment. Tonight is the night, we'll fight till it's over. So we put our hands up like the ceiling can't hold us. Like the ceiling can't hold us.
Here we go back.